From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
I'm Barry White. I mean, Andrew Richards.
And I'm Chad Beater.
And welcome to Defrag Tools. So, three sick people still here to talk about what today?
What are we doing?
We're troopers. We are going to talk about kernel debugging.
All right.
This is a way you can take one Windows computer and debug the kernel using another one. So, you know, we've talked a lot in the past about debugging user mode applications and breaking in and taking dump files of user mode processes. Well, what if you want to debug the whole system? And, you know, we've even talked a little bit about getting kernel dumps, but I want to show you how to do it live, as in the old immortal words of Bill O'Reilly. We're going to do it live.
We're doing it live.
So doing it live.
Explain the cables you have here. You have a couple of
cables. Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways that you can connect a debugger to a Windows machine, and a lot of it depends on what the hardware is, what versions of Windows you're debugging. So the old school way, which I don't have here, and it's still occasionally used, especially for servers, is a serial port. And,
okay.
You probably remember, like, if you're old like me, you remember back in the day, like, null modem cables, like Laplink
yeah.
and all that kind of stuff. So those kind of serial null modem cables can be used to debug a Windows machine, assuming it has a serial port. A lot of machines now don't.
Yeah.
But servers still typically do. Desktop machines still might have them. So that's
I use mine at home.
Do you?
For a Wacom tablet. And I like a really old Wacom tablet.
Oh, so. There you go. Mm. Old school. So, yeah, desktop machines, you can still probably go buy like a serial PCI card or something,
yeah.
even if it doesn't have it on there.
The thing about serials is it is very slow, though.
It is, and it's not ideal for live debugging because it is very slow. And I mean, you can do it, but sometimes you type a command in the debugger, it takes a little while to run. So really, there is a bunch of newer ways that have come out since then. So USB 2.0 is one mechanism that we have to debug, and I've got the cable here. I don't know if you can see that, but the thing about this is it can be a little flaky sometimes. It's not really the best way. There's a lot of gotchas about it. A lot of machines, even though they have USB 2 ports, you may not always be able to debug them depending on the firmware on the machine, how the USB is wired internally, things like that. But it is an option. You get this special cable that you can order. I think it's like $80 or something
yeah,
like
it's
that.
It's more expensive than it should be.
More, yeah. Well, it's kind of a specialty item.
Yeah. So it has to be USB port 0, which is what the problem is.
Yeah, it has to be the very first port. And a lot of times you'll
find... How do you determine that?
Well, there's actually a tool. I think it's in the...
It's in the debugger, yeah.
Is it shipped with the debugger?
Yeah, it does.
Or is it the EDK? Anyway, there's a tool called USB View. We can put a link to that. And if you plug something in, and you can go in with USB View and see which physical debug USB port it's on. And if one of your exposed USB ports is port 0, then chances are you can debug
yeah.
using that. But you have to plug the debug cable into that exact USB port.
And can't be through a hub, or could be through a hub through that port?
Well, sometimes you'll find laptops and devices will have internal USB hubs.
Yeah.
And that can cause problems, too. So it's a little tricky if you have a particular machine you're trying to connect a USB debugger to and it's not working, you email us. But USB is not really my preferred mechanism just because there's so many gotchas like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's really hard.
It's hard to get it working. Sometimes it's your only option for certain devices. But
we don't have exactly a 100% success rate, put that way.
Yes.
Even when we know what we're doing.
Yeah, and there has to be certain BIOS support for it, too. USB 3 is something that they added support for debugging in, I think, Windows 8. And that, again, requires a special cable, although it's not quite as special as this, and it's not as expensive.
It's a USB crossover cable, so it's like a serial cable. You have to be really careful, though, because if they cross over all the pins, that will include the power, and it will short out your box.
Ooh. Okay.
So when we mentioned a couple of episodes ago, and we'll relink it this episode, there is specific ones you want to buy.
Okay.
And so we've got links to that.
So with USB 3, you shouldn't use your old USB 2 cable? That wouldn't work?
No, yeah, it's a special.
It's a special.
It's a different kind.
It's actually an A to A. So these are an This is A to B. This is
right?
A, this end.
Yeah.
And the squarish one's the B end.
Yeah.
The USB 3 one is A to A.
Okay.
So it's like a network crossover cable. Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of an unusual cable. You wouldn't normally see it. So that is something that you can get, though, and it's something for Windows 8 machines that we will see more and more of, I think, going forward. So what I want to show here, I'll just actually show you a demo of a couple of our more preferred debug methods. So one of them is 1394, which some people call FireWire. We call it 1394. And this is supported on Windows, I think, starting in Vista.
Yeah, I think you're
right. Started supporting 1394 debugging. And then it's very reliable. It works great. The only problem is you have to have machines that have 1394 ports, which aren't always, you know, on the newest machines out there. That's why I kind of found a couple of machines. Like this one here is a little bit older, but I wanted to demo it. It's got a 1394 port. This machine here is newer. It doesn't have a 1394 port, but I did. It does have an Express card slot. So I have this 1394 Express card. So that works as well. So what I'm going to do here.
So unlike USB, it can be any FireWire port. Mm-hmm. Which is awesome.
Yeah, there's not any gotchas like that. It's just kind of, as long as you have a 1394 port.
And same with USB 3. USB 3 is also any port.
Yeah. So what I want to do here is I've got two machines. I've got this one here, which is going to be my debugger. This one's going to be my debug target. And let's go ahead and set this one up for debugging, and we'll see if we can get this one to connect to it through FireWire. So what you're going to do is go in here to your command prompt. And the way I do it is with bcdedit. You know, there is a way with msconfig to turn on debugging as well. In fact, let's do that. But I don't know that it has quite as many.
No, it hasn't got all the options.
But if you go over to the boot tab here, I think it's under advanced options, you can check debug. And you can select COM1, COM1 through 4, 1394, USB. It doesn't have one of the newer options we'll talk about later, which is network debugging. But I'm more hardcore, I guess. I like to use bcdedit. Once you've done it a few times, it's just as fast. So bcdedit, the first thing that you're going to want to do is do bcdedit/dbg settings. This is going to be your default out of the box. It's set for serial. I don't know if I even have a serial port on this machine, but if I do, I'm not going to use it. So what I want to do is set this over to 1394. And by the way, all these settings are documented in the WinDBG help.
And also the BCDedit help.
And the BCDedit help. So I'm going to tell it I want 1394, and I'm going to pick a 1394 channel. This is just sort of an arbitrary number. I think it's 0 through 63 or something like that. I, for some reason, always use 42 just because I like the number.
Mm-hmm. It's the meaning of life.
It's the meaning of life, the universe, and everything. So that's pretty much all I have to do there. And that should be it. I've got my 1394 cable running from one machine to the other.
Do you have to turn the debugging on?
Right. Of course. It's still early in the morning for
Yeah.
me. So bcdedit/debug on.
So like the first one's the configuration, the second
one is
the feature on or off.
Yeah, exactly. This just is like a switch. Turn on debugging, turn off debugging. And then the other is how are you going to connect your debugger. And you can verify that by just bcdedit with no switches. And you'll see down at the bottom here it has debug, yes. And if you do this, you can verify now. It's switched over to 1394 on channel 42. So I'm going to go ahead and reboot this machine. And I'm going to go to my debugger while that's rebooting. And I'm going to go select kernel debug 1394 channel 42. One note on this, the first time you do a 1394 debug, you have to run WinDBG as administrator. And the reason is it has to install a debugging driver. 1394 debugger.
On the host.
And it will actually tell you, it'll say, if you forget, it'll go, oh, you need to run me as admin. Mm. And now you'll see, I've just rebooted my target, and my debug host just came up here, and you'll see it's connecting up.
NVIDIA spitting out some debug spew?
Yeah, the NVIDIA driver there spitting some spew. Some drivers will just output debug stuff to the debug port, and you'll just get stuff showing up. And there it is. So we're connected. Once that kind of comes up, now I can break in here, and what you'll see...
Break key.
Yeah, there it is.
So all the live tiles.
And there it is. And now that target machine, remember, this is a kernel debug. So when I break in with the kernel debugger, the target machine is completely frozen. It's stopped. It's waiting for something. It's not like just breaking into an application. It's we've halted all processing on that until we tell it to go. So that's how you can connect via 1394. I would recommend that if you can, 1394 is a real reliable way to go. Only problem is, you know, certain machines just don't have that as an option. So to get around that, one of the things that they've added starting in Windows 8 is network debugging over Ethernet. And so we can kind of show that.
So what are the things that, before we jump into networking, what are the type of things we can do in the debugger that, because we're live debugging it, what's the additional commands that are available, for example?
Right, so you can do a few things once you're in here. You can reboot the target, you can tell it to bug check, you can force a bug check. You know, we talked before about how to like configure a system to bug check via control scroll walk key or something like that. You can also do it via an attached debugger with a dot crash. Will tell it to blue screen, and it will save out a dump file locally.
So if you don't want to, let's say you had an older serial system,
yes,
you don't want to do a saving of the dump file over to there because it's going to have to copy gigabytes over the serial cable to here.
Which could take days.
So that would be dot dump
slash
MA. If you do dot crash, it will cause it to happen on the server, so you keep it local. So yeah, if you have a slower connection, Choose the two.
So because I'm on 1394, and I don't know actually how much RAM is on that system, although I can find out with Bang VM. So that is a 4 gigabyte system. I could actually do a dot dump slash F at this point and get a memory dump of that system saved onto my debugger, and it will just copy 4 gigabytes over the 1394 cable.
Yeah.
And I'll get a full dump remotely from that system.
So 3094 runs at, is it 300 megabit? So you get it, I think it's, or more than that.
Yeah, 360,
400.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a good speed.
Or 800, depending on
Which one. I remember before gigabit networks came out, I actually had a FireWire network at home.
Yeah.
Because it was faster, right?
Yeah. So I don't know if I want to do a full 4 gig dump right now, but it would take a couple minutes maybe to do that. But it's not too bad, right? You can do it. It's not like serial where it would take 5 days or something.
So you would like attach and then maybe set a breakpoint on something.
Yeah.
Get to the point where you like it and then go, okay, this is the point where I want to really save it off for, you know, case reasons.
Absolutely. And that's the main advantage that you get with kernel debugging versus debugging a dump file is you can go in and interactively set breakpoints and step through code and things like that. And we can show that. Let's go ahead and do that. So for example here, let's look at the list of drivers on that system. So one of the things you can do is LM, which is list modules. And we can see all the drivers that are installed on my target system here. I noticed yesterday there was one on here that was kind of unusual, called modem. You don't see too many modems, but like I said, that this is kind of an old machine that we're debugging.
Is it actually going to?
And it does actually have a modem
in it.
It's
like both your machines have modems.
Yeah, go figure. These are just a couple I figured out. You can actually do bang LMI, which is list module information, and it'll even tell me, the exact version of that modem.sys driver, the timestamp that it was built. I don't seem to have any symbols loaded for it right now, which sort of surprises me, but I can do a dot reload. And I should now have, no? Oh, I have to do a force.
Force it. So the reload only looks at the current stack, and because modem's not in the stack.
Oh, modem.sys. There we go. So now if I look at my, okay, so now I've got the symbols loaded for modem. And one of the things you can also do is do a bang driver object. So every driver on a system has a structure associated with it called a driver object. And if you do a bang drv obj, you can take a look at that. It's taking a second here.
So while it does that for network debugging, is it a normal Cat5 cable, or do you have to use something special?
Anything that the same kind of cable you would use to just connect a network.
And is it a cable from machine to machine, or can it be actually across a network?
So it can be across a network. It can be across the internet, assuming you have an
it's routable.
It's routable. So assuming that you have your firewall ports all opened up, you can debug a machine in another country.
So the easiest thing to do is because the hardware makes the IP address lease rather than the operating system.
Yeah.
You just put it on a DHCP network, turn the machine on, it gets an address. It doesn't matter what the address is because you don't actually need to know it. And then it will then connect out to the IP address you choose. Nice. As long as that machine is routable from the DHCP lease, which gives you the right gateway and stuff, as long as that knows how to get from X to Y, you're debuggable.
Very cool.
Which is great.
And the other great thing about the network debugging is with all these other debugging mechanisms that we've talked about, serial, USB, 1394, that once you assign that port to be your debug port, it's only used for debugging. I mean, you can't use anything else over that 1394 port. Network debugging is actually different. They very cleverly built the network debugging driver so that you can network debug using the same network port that you are using for regular network traffic.
Nice.
So that's very cool. So one thing that I just ran here is if you add a parameter 2 to the driver object, drv obj. So I did bang drv obj modem 2. And what this 2 tells me is give me all the dispatch routines for that driver. So every driver in a system is required to fill out a table of dispatch routines so that when the OS wants to tell that driver to do something, it knows which function in that driver to call. And those are called dispatch routines. And so for each type of routine that a driver can do, it will fill out a function. So for example here, if we want to send a power request to this driver, ERP major power, ERP MJ power, we are going to call modem bang modem power. So this is a function called modem power in modem.sys. And so let's go ahead and set a breakpoint on modem bang modem power. I suppose I could have copied and pasted to make my life easier, but
so how do you say what breakpoints you've got?
You can do a BL to list existing breakpoints, and you can see there it is. I just set it. The E there specifies that it's currently enabled. You can also temporarily disable it if I want to breakpoint disable 0 and then look at my list again. You'll see now that's a D, so it's disabled. So you use those a lot if you're doing a lot of debugging to kind of turn things on and off.
And
E 0 will turn it back on.
If you have the source code up, you'll get a red line when it's enabled, and it will turn to yellow when it's disabled.
Right.
So, and you can press F9 in the
cool.
UI, like you would in Visual Studio.
Yeah.
So I've gone ahead and set a breakpoint on the modem power function in modem.sys, and I know that that's going to be the function that's called because if any power requests come into that modem driver. So let's go ahead and hit go here. You can do a G here. debuggy is running.
And you saw it, but the live tiles immediately sprang to life.
This machine is now unfrozen. So if we go back to the target machine here, and let's actually go into Device Manager. Let's find that modem, and let's power it down. And we should see we will hit that breakpoint. So, modems. Some kind of soft modem here. And if I go ahead and right-click that and hit disable, you will see this machine is going to suddenly freeze. Maybe. No! Why didn't it work? Worked yesterday when I tried it.
Yeah, that's because it wasn't on air.
Yeah, right. Let's see what's going on here. Break. Find my break key. Is my... Oh! Well, it's gotten unloaded now because I've...
Actually, obviously, it didn't run that function, but it did unload it.
Somehow my breakpoint didn't actually get set properly. Well, it's reloaded now.
So maybe just find a function in TFS or something.
Yeah, we could do that.
Just use X. Just do something obvious.
The demo bug strikes again. I don't know why that breakpoint didn't hit, but... So another thing you can do is the X command will show you all the symbols. So NTFS...
asterisk file, asterisk or something.
Yeah. What's a good one? So you can use wildcards to see all the exposed functions in NTFS.
It's a hard driver to choose.
It is. Let's see.
File name index one looks half decent.
NTFS check file name.
Maybe we should choose a driver one, like create file.
Create file?
Yeah.
Well, that gets hit all the time, right?
Yeah.
So NT, let's do a look for any symbols in the NT kernel. Create file. So let's set a break on, say, NT create file. Or do we want IO create file?
One of those, or ZW. ZW definitely will. We can set them all, breakpoint, asterisk.
Sure.
And BU, so BM, break multiple.
Break multiple. Oh, I wasn't aware of that one. Okay.
So, and just wildcard it.
NT bang create file.
Yeah. There you go.
Wow, there's a lot of breakpoints. I sure as heck hope we hit those. And let's go in. We've already hit it. Create files happen all the time, even when you don't think anything's going on. Anytime any service or driver wants to access anything, it pretty much runs a create file. So we hit that pretty quick, not even doing anything specifically.
So we can look at the stack now.
Yeah, so we can do a K and see who did that. So some system thread, filter manager. I don't know if we're actually getting all the...
It was an executive worker from the kernel.
Yeah.
It wasn't a user mode program.
Something in kernel itself has decided to start up a system thread to go create a file.
So now that we've shown that, how do we detach cleanly so this thing doesn't crash when we leave? Can we just close the debugger, or do we have to...
If you just close the debugger, all those breakpoints you set are still there. So if you really want to do that, I would suggest turning off all your breakpoints. We can do a BD. Well, let's look at them. You can do a breakpoint clear, asterisk. And that will remove all the breakpoints. Do a break, and they're all gone.
So if you just close the debugger now, what? How does that leave this?
Well, it's still going to be a setup for debugging, so you could still reattach to it later.
I know one of the things that does happen is if there's a breakpoint in the code,
yes,
it will throw an exception, and because it knows that it's in debug mode, it will say, all right, I'm just waiting for a debugger to turn up, and it will just sit there.
It'll sit forever. It'll look frozen.
Yeah. Where if the debugger isn't turned on, debug on, debug off, it will have an unhandled exception, and then it will bug check the box.
Right.
So if you you have this box that you leave debugging turned on, you forget, and you're not touching it, and you go, why is it hanging all the time?
Yeah.
Odds are that you forgot to turn the debug off. So you shouldn't you shouldn't leave debug turned on your box. It's bad.
Yeah. You would typically not want to just leave that debug setting just on by default, unless you are actually hooking a debugger up. Yeah. Another thing you'll see is a lot of, well, not a lot, but some third-party drivers, for security reasons or whatever, will specifically put things like single-step exceptions and crazy things in their drivers. Symantec, I know, is one example.
.NET does it too.
Yeah. And so sometimes you'll see where people say, hey, I turned on debugging, or bcdedit debug on, and now a minute after I boot, my machine hangs. Well, it's not really hung. It's trying to connect to the debugger. And if you don't have one attached, you won't see that. You'll have to attach one and go hit go or something like that. But yeah, so it's not really a good idea to sort of just leave debug turned on unless you are actually debugging.
Mm. Cool.
Right. So do we want to show network debugging?
Let's
do network. So network debugging is, like I said, something that was, I'm still broken in. My machine's hung. Okay. Go. So network debugging, like I said, is something that was added in Windows 8. And the nice thing about it is most machines, well, even now, I guess maybe not all machines have an Ethernet card, but a lot of them do. So you get a pretty good variety of machines you can debug this way. So the way network debugging works is the debug target, when it boots, will try to connect out to the debugger machine. So if you're thinking about configuring your firewall settings and things like that, you have to realize that that's how it works. So what I actually need to do is look at my debugger and figure out the IP address. And I've got just a crossover Ethernet cable here, but it doesn't have to be a direct line like this between two machines. You can just plug it into your regular corporate network or home network or whatever you've got.
Now, it doesn't work for Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
No,
it has to be,
it does not. Well, the debugger can be Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
The debug target has to be a physical Ethernet.
Yeah.
And that's just because that's the way the debug, the network driver is written to talk to network cards. Maybe someday they'll get it working over Wi-Fi, but maybe that's for a future Windows version. We'll see. I don't know. All right, so I'm going to go to my debugger. I'm going to go to my debugger. I'm going to look at my IP config for my Ethernet and figure out what my IP address is. Wi-Fi, wireless, Ethernet. Okay, so I've got an autoconfig IP address here because these are just
Opering.
Yes. So 169.254.117.242. So I'm going to go to the target, the debuggee, and I'm going to say bcdedit debug settings net host IP is 169.254.117.242 port, the IP port. I typically use something in the 50,000 range, like 50,000.
One of the things it can't do is get through IPsec. So because it doesn't have IPsec on the stack, if you're in a corporate environment, which most corporate environments should have IPsec running, you'll need to find a port range that's excluded.
Okay.
So they need like a clear traffic port.
And the other thing that you need to set is a key. Key can be any four things separated by periods. So I just keep it simple because I'm on a private network here and I'm not really worried about security. I just use A.B.C.D. You can use anything there. If you're like debugging over the internet, you probably want to choose a pretty secure key. But
defrag tools is awesome.
Yeah, defrag.tools.is.awesome. Sure, yeah. You could use that. So that's a cryptographic key that's used to it to encrypt the debug traffic. And that's, you know, you have to think about this. If for some reason you were debugging over the public internet, you really don't want anybody to be able to connect to your machine and see the kernel. I mean,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but realistically, I think most of the time when you're doing this, you're on a pretty private network or something like that. So in this case, I think we're okay with that. So we'll do that, and then I'm going to go over to my debug host, and I'm going to start up a new debugger. I'm going to say kernel debug net, again, port 50,000, a.b.c.d. Remember that you have to, I have previously opened up that the Windows firewall on this. I've enabled Windows debugger for incoming connections, because remember, the target is going to connect to the debugger and open up a port. So your firewall has to be configured appropriately.
Now, the great thing about it being port-based is you could have an array of test machines, right? Hmm. Like, and you say, this one's going to be sending out to port 50,000, this one's 50,001, 50,002, and you can run multiple debug WinDBG sessions over here.
Oh, nice.
And then you know, have one central machine debugging 20 machines.
Yeah.
So you're not linked to where all these other cable ways of doing it will just stuck to one-to-one.
Yeah.
So
it's waiting to reconnect, and hopefully, if everything goes well, my debug target is now trying to connect. Please work.
Well, because it's a crossover, it's going to take a little while for it to time out on the DSCP lease, so that will slow it down a little bit.
Yeah, that could be too. Typically, it'll work a little bit better if you're on a real network with DHCP and everything, but hopefully it'll connect up here. We're about to find out. I got it working once before. But you know how this always goes when you try to demo stuff. So, yeah, it's going to take a minute. But I really like the network debugging in Windows 8. It's pretty reliable. It's fast because it's, you know, Ethernet speeds.
Mm. I had a support case recently where the bug showed up on shutdown. And I just had the machine in a reboot loop. It went down, went up again, and then just ran shutdown 30 seconds later. And around and around and around it went. And then finally, every time I went around, it reconnected. And so it's really stable in anyway, I think it was like nearly 2,000 reboots before it reproed.
Wow.
And yeah, it took about a couple of days to go around the loop that many times. But
mm-hmm. Here
but
it
then it broke in at the point when I was able to debug it. So yeah, the stability of the debugging is great. It always reconnects.
Yeah, nice.
And it keeps your breakpoints across them and everything.
And you can see it's connected now. It comes up and says connected.
Yeah,
target.
And the donuts.
And the target is now still, I don't know why it's taken so long to boot. We could break in and see, I suppose, if we really want to get in there. But that's network debugging, and so I definitely would recommend that if you are debugging a Windows 8 target.
Mm. Now, the destination doesn't have to be Windows 8. Say your machine was Windows 7?
Oh, yeah. If the debugger can be kind of anything.
Yeah.
Really, what you have to have is just the target has to be Windows 8 in order to support network debugging.
Yeah.
Because it's got the appropriate network debug driver that's
built
in there. It's called kdnet.sys, actually.
So, say that you had a system that has secure boot. How does that apply in here?
Yeah, so secure boot, you're going to have to turn that off, I think, in order to turn on, to edit like your BCD and things like that. So mm-hmm. You may have to go into your BIOS and disable that. The other thing that you may run into, anytime you edit the BCD with BCD edit, if your machine is locked with BitLocker, then you'll run into an issue where you'll come up and prompt you for the BitLocker key on the next boot, and it's a kind of a real pain. So those are some gotchas anytime, and that just has to do with editing the BCD to turn on the debug settings and things like that. Yeah, turn off secure boot in your BIOS, and also go into your control panel and disable BitLocker before you do this. Otherwise, you can run into
some. Don't know why IE ran then?
I don't know why IE ran, but there again, we've connected up. It did work eventually after the IP thing sorted itself out, and I can break in here with control break and do my thing. I can see what stack it was on. It was on the idle loop because it wasn't really doing anything. I can look at all the processes on the machine, bang process 00. And you can see this is going pretty quick. It says it's network debugging. So that's it.
The debugging stack, you want to call it that, inside the network card, because all of this is offloaded to network card, does have a speed limit. It doesn't run at gigabit. It runs slightly slower than that. So there is some, it's not running blisteringly fast with networking, but it's very comparable to FireWire. So it's still great. I mean, our worlds have changed because of it, right? I mean,
yeah, and even though that machine, again, even though I've used that debug, that Ethernet port as a debug connection, I can also still use that Ethernet port for regular networking. So so you can even debug network problems over the same network that you're using for debug. So that's live debugging. It's a little bit of a specialized thing where you really need to get down and dirty, see what's going on with a computer. We use it all the time here at Microsoft, especially when we see driver problems or kernel problems.
Well, things like, the system's hung.
Yeah.
When you got the mouse still moves, but nothing else is working.
Yeah.
Break in, work out what everything's jammed on.
Absolutely.
Much like we did the last couple episodes with hang analysis, mm-hmm. you do kernel hang analysis.
And you can even get in and debug user mode stuff from a kernel debugger. There's a few gotchas and it gets a little tricky, but it is actually possible. And the thing that you'll find is, say, cases that are timing related where you have one process that's failing because of something that's happening in another process. Well, it's a little tricky to debug that through user mode because if you break into one process, the other one keeps running. So the nice thing about kernel mode debugging is if you break in at all, the whole system pauses for you. So timing problems and things like that are a little easier to sort out sometimes this way.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, that's the show for this week. If you have questions, you can leave a comment in the show page, or you can write us at defragtools@microsoft.com. See you next week.
Have a good week.